Have you ever thought to ask yourself, am I a spiritual orphan? You see, Jesus is talking about creating a new family, the church, where God is our Father, and the Son and the Holy Spirit, being God, all become our guiding parent. And as they gathered together just before his death and he was preparing to leave them, obviously they were sad. They were confused. They'd only been together such a short while. They had so many expectations about what this man, Jesus, could do to transform the world. And now he's talking about leaving. And he's talking about leaving in a rather dramatic way, that he's going to be crucified. They're disturbed. They're confused. He has revealed to them the Father. Relating to him is just like knowing God and all God's fullness. And now he's leaving. But he said, I won't leave you an orphan. You know, when our earthly parents die, we're orphaned. And you know, I don't think it helps a whole lot if you're 50 or 60 years old and you lose a parent, you still feel a little like an orphan. You feel that loss. You feel some sense of loneliness. You know, I'm so glad that I've got my mom, and yesterday I was going down to work in the hay, and so I used the trip down to talk to my mom. And she says, well, I thought you forgot about me. I hadn't heard from you. I mean, you must have had a busy week. And I said, yeah, but, you know, we just fellowship together, and that just feels special. And when we don't have that person in our lives, we do have an emptiness. Jesus said, I don't want you to feel that emptiness. I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm going to send you something really special, the Holy Spirit. And that's going to take care of you. And that's going to remind you of me. And that's going to be such a living presence in your life that you know that you're a part of my family. You're connected to me. And you're never, never, never alone. Now, I'm sure you've heard most of that many times before in your life. But there's a difference in Jesus sending and making the offer and our accepting it and filling that hole in our lives when somebody leaves us. And that's just as true spiritually as it is literally. You know, we've got a lot of people in the world who are biologically and legally parents, mothers and fathers. But in a spiritual sense, a lot of those children are orphans because their parents are just biologically and legally parents. They haven't given themselves over totally to be the kind of parents God's called them to be. Now, maybe they don't quite know how. Maybe they have some things going on in their lives that is just so messed up their minds and their lives, they don't know how to be there for their children. But we've got a lot of children walking around in this neighborhood because I've met some of them and heard about some of those children when I talk to teachers in these schools scattered down Hope Mills Road and on Rayford Road. Those children are spiritual orphans, but they go home and may have one or two parents. But their moms and dads really aren't there for them. I think a lot of times we can be church members and still be spiritual orphans. We can be technically related to God in Christ. We can be intellectually saved, but we haven't allowed God to truly be our spiritual parent. We haven't really accepted the Holy Spirit into our lives to truly guide us. Watched a wonderful movie on TV last night on I think it was a HBO special called Mineral Springs. Anybody see that? I think last night was the premiere. It was about Roosevelt's struggle with polio and learning to walk again. And we know what a great president he was, But before he became president, he came down with polio. And the little block of his life in this story showed that he was kind of a, you know, an arrogant rich guy. His political, what would you call that person? Well, you know, we all know those people that try to manage the campaign and get people elected. I'm not sure what name you'd give to them, but some might be more kind than others. But, you know, his political manager said, you know, why are you a Democrat? And he said, well, the Democrats are the party of the people, and I'm a man of the people. And he said, you don't even know who real people are. Because he had lived in wealth. He had traveled in a part of society that was unlike most of the United States. And the man had enough guts to say, you don't even know what real people are. How can you say that? But through the debilitating, crippling effects of polio and his struggle with that, he learned about real people. He was kind of indignant when he came up to Mineral Springs. It was a rather ramshackle place that had gone downhill. It was in rural Georgia, and he complained about, don't you have any paved roads down here? And they said, nope. He was indignant when they suggested where he stay. But he stayed there where they had the 90-degree Mineral Springs because he had heard there was a chance he might could walk again. But he wasn't all that crazy of being around those people. But his heart was changed. His whole philosophy of life was changed as he met real people. See, he was technically a citizen. He was technically a candidate for vice president. He was potentially a candidate for president, but spiritually he just wasn't there. Until he went through that kind of experience and learned about people's needs and their hurts and their pains and their struggles in life. A reporter, when he was making the speech for the nomination of, who was that, that ran before him as a Democrat? Yeah, he was making the nomination speech. And a reporter asked his wife, has a polio affected his mind, do you think? And she said, yes, but not in a crippling sense, not in a debilitating sense, because the man had been transformed. Plato, who lived 400 years before the time of Jesus, a student of Socrates and Pythagoras, had a concept that really fits in here. And it was called the concept of forms. It was really a spiritual concept, although he might not have used those terms. But he said, for everything that is real in this world, in the spiritual world, is an ideal form. For instance, spiritually, there exists an image of a candle. And yet, you can have a candle like this or a candle like that or the little ones we use on Christmas Eve. All kinds of candles that you can buy at the stores anywhere you go. Candles that are scented. But to be called a candle, he said there's an ideal idea, a spiritual reality of candle that everything in that group matches to, or you can't call it a candle. And there's a spiritual idea of a speaker, and all those speakers can be big and small, and some are narrow and skinny and 6 feet tall. There's an ideal form that defines itself as a speaker to call it a speaker, even if you have a little teeny thing or a tiny little speaker that's in your cell phone. There's an ideal image of form. So everything in the universe, there is an ideal image or form that gives it its meaning. Now, the Hebrew people said that was the Word of God. God thought it, God spoke it, and it became real. You see, we live in a world where we can kind of counterfeit things. We can even counterfeit who we are. We cannot show people our real selves because we're out of touch. Just like I believe Roosevelt was kind of out of touch with people, and yet he became a president that impacted innumerable people in his presidency. You see, if we're spiritual orphans, if we haven't accepted the reality of who we are in Christ Jesus, if we haven't received the promised gift of the Holy Spirit so we can be real children of God, conforming to God's image of what it means to be His child. Not our image, God's perfect divine image of what it means to be a child of God. Then we're just technically Christians. We're Christians because our name was on a baptismal certificate or on a church roll. We're spiritual orphans unless we allow the Holy Spirit to help us conform to the divine image of what it means to be God's child. Only you and God can really answer the question, are you a spiritual orphan? Or is this the day you need to allow the Holy Spirit to show you what it means to be a true child of God? That's what Jesus promised to his disciples as he was getting ready to leave. I will not leave you an orphan. I'll give you the Holy Spirit who'll lead you into the perfect truth of what it means to be a vibrant, loving, sensitive, caring child of God. Are you a spiritual orphan? Or are you a child that is being conformed by the power of the Holy Spirit to the divine image of our God when He calls us my children? This meal that we celebrate is His invitation to be transformed into His children so that you'll never be orphaned, that you'll always have a loving parent to support you, to sustain you, to guide you. Will you receive it through His Spirit? Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, so often we claim our rights as citizens without being responsible citizens. We claim what we ought to get by being a church member without really accepting Your Holy Spirit and allowing that Spirit to transform our lives. And then we wonder why things don't go well for us day to day. Why we struggle with so many things. Why we're dealing with so much sickness or so many complications in our lives. But it's because we're spiritual orphans. We just haven't opened up and accepted that Spirit which can transform us into children that have confidence and power to live in this life in a mighty way to honor our Lord and our God. Help us never to feel orphaned, to always know who we are in Christ Jesus, especially as we come to Your table today, where we ask Your blessings upon us in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.